Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, hour number three, Monday edition. I'm Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. Encourage you to all go grab and subscribe to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast. We love all of our affiliates in all 50 states, and we appreciate all of you who listen that way. We want you to be able to listen to every minute as many different ways as possible. You search out my name, Clay Travis. You search out Buck Sexton's, and boom, you can go give us 5 stars, and you get every single hour. We're going to be talking to Tucker Carlson here momentarily from Fox News. In fact, he is with us right now. And Tucker, let me make sure I get this right. You have got a brand new 3-part documentary that is already driving people on the left wing of this country, the blue check mark brigade, as I call them, absolutely insane. It's called Patriot Purge. It's going to be on Fox Nation about what really happened on January 6th and how it's been used to start a domestic war on terror. Tucker, are you surprised how angry you've already got the blue check mark brigade before they've even seen a minute of this documentary?
Well, I suppose I am. I'm fascinated by it. I'm not really bothered or threatened by it. I mean, the documentary, which, you know, people can assess for themselves, is actual. We did dozens and dozens of interviews and went through hundreds and hundreds of hours of relevant tape. And it's, I think, meticulously reported and really interesting. But before it even came out, on the basis of our trailer, the Washington Post ran yesterday like a 10,000-word rebuttal, which is the word to describe it. On the basis of a minute and 20 seconds. So what does that tell you? Well, it's not about me, obviously, or even about Fox News. It's about the fact that they believe they have a monopoly on the way that you understand this event. Now, why is that so important to them? They're not bothered when the suicide rate doubles or 100,000 Americans drop dead from drug ODs. They don't even pause. So it's not a question of hurting America. America is being hurt, and they're not noticing. It's a question of taking away their control. Now, why would September 6th, this riot at the Capitol, which, by the way, I disapproved of when it happened, I disapprove of it now. Why would it be so essential for them to tell us that it's an insurrection run by racists? Because on that pretext, they're cracking down on their political opponents. I mean, that's obviously the whole point of this, and we prove it in the documentary, but it's all around us. There are people sitting in solitary to this day for trespassing. So at the same time that, you know, some guy lights up a school with a handgun, shoots 2 people in class in Fort Worth and does a night in jail. So, like, the punishments are so disproportionate that tells you, of course, this is all political. And we should push back against that. Equal justice is the main thing we have. We shouldn't give up on it.
Hey, Tucker, it's Buck. And I'm just wondering, what is it? Yeah, thanks. Thanks for being with us. What is it that you can give us as a sense? I know I want people to go watch this, right? So I don't want you to give away too much in advance. We know how that goes. It's important that people see this, though. We talk a lot about the insurrection narrative. I have said, and this is, I guess, coming from an ex-CIA guy, anyone who calls this an insurrection is an idiot or a liar. I don't think there's a third option. I mean, it's just there was no way this was going to overthrow the United States government. What are some of the things that you identify in the documentary, in Patriot Purge, that may be new to people or that may be necessary for them to know to have the full context for what I also have said is a riot was bad, but wasn't what they're telling you it is?
No. So there are 3 parts to it. Tonight's the first, and we lay out the facts of the day. What actually happened? So I don't think there's been a public event videotaped from more angles than this one. So there's a lot of available evidence. We don't have to speculate. What's so striking to me is that the basic facts, the core facts, the easily discoverable facts have been totally distorted from the beginning. And let's just start with the most obvious. How many people died? So 5 people died. 6 people died. They were killed by the mob. And the truth is completely different from that. No one was killed by the mob. One person was killed. She was an unarmed Trump supporter. She was 5'2". Her name was Ashley Babbitt, famously, and she was shot by a Capitol Police officer with a history of recklessness. Now, we can debate, you know, whether that was justified or not. I don't think there's any way that it was, but others disagree. But what we can't debate is that 5 or 6 people died, because that's not what happened. Officer Sicknick was not beaten to death with a fire extinguisher. That's a lie. And yet that lie, which ran in the New York Times, was uncorrected for weeks, defined the coverage, and it's still being repeated. Who first breached the line of police officers? Another question. How many police officers stepped out of the way to allow the crowd to go in? I mean, it's all on videotape. Who were the people there? So So just kind of setting the fact pattern down, like this is what actually happened, this is what's knowable, was shocking to me once, you know, after the 3 or 4 months you worked in this, once it was all written down, you're like, wait, this literally bears no resemblance to what they've been telling me every single day on television for 10 months. Why is that? The second, and I won't go too into it, but the second is, what has this been used for? There's a point if they're not lying because, you know, they feel like it, they're lying because they're getting something out of it. And this has been used to justify the biggest crackdown on civil liberties in American history, or certainly since the First World War, since the Wilson administration. And the third question that we ask, which is an entirely valid question, which is how many people in the crowd that day had contact with federal law enforcement? And there's no question that some did. I mean, that's kind of beyond dispute. They've admitted it. But a number of people who seem to be at the center of encouraging the crowd, the people encouraging the crowd to breach the police line, have not been indicted. Whereas, you know, grandmothers who did effectively nothing but walk down the hallway are still in jail. So what does that tell you? What tells you? They're most likely federal informants. So what is that? Like, what's the outline of that? Why can't we know? Like, what's the answer?
This is such a fascinating thing that you're examining, because it's the very foundation of what journalists used to do, right? Ask questions, analyze evidence, examine it, put forward hypotheses which can be rejected or accepted by the larger media ecosystem in what we would call the marketplace of ideas. Yet you are being attacked, which you are used to. And by the way, Buck and I are used to being attacked too. Yeah. Savagely, I would say though, Tucker, over this, in a way that doesn't happen for all of our opinions, which to me is so fascinating about it. Like you just said, exactly. The Washington Post wrote 10,000 words about a 1 minute, 20 second advertisement that you guys put out. There's an entire cottage industry that has mobilized here. And Buck and I have been talking about this, and I find it so fascinating. Almost in an era where we say, hey, it's wrong to punish anyone, right? There's all these people that immediately get back out on the streets when they're convicted of serious crimes. We have people still in solitary confinement for January 6th, and it's as if those people don't exist. They've been disappeared, which is what happens in so many countries that don't have basic First Amendment rights. Shouldn't way more people, such as GOP reps, you be asking the question about this? Yeah.
Well, sure. I mean, what this has been used to do is redefine democratic opposition, small d democratic opposition, to their rule as terrorism, to redefine their domestic political opponents as terrorists. And once you do that, then you can focus the full weight and force of the national security state on these people. And as we, I think, demonstrate at great length, that is in fact happening. Why is no one saying anything about it? Because their aggression is so overwhelming that you really have to decide, well, you know, I'm going to all of a sudden, like, not, you know, go to the grocery store again this year if I say this. I mean, there's a penalty for saying it. I'm just, you know, at a certain age and place in my life where I don't care. But there's a lot of members of Congress who I think kind of know what's going on, but it's not worth getting involved in it because the penalty is just too high. I mean, they basically, just the same as the BLM riots and the same as COVID, they're so aggressive that people feel like it's just not even worth participating. And, you know, I think that's a shame. I think people should show a little bit more bravery in the face of authoritarianism. But, you know, I'm not in charge of people, only myself. But, yeah, that's it. They don't want to deal with it. Like, next thing you know, you're Marjorie Taylor Greene. And, like, you know, people are calling you a Nazi for saying things that were totally conventional 5 years ago. And, like, you really, it's a rare person who's willing to deal with that. It's just not worth it.
We're speaking to Tucker Carlson. You all know him from Fox News, from his 8 p.m. Eastern show. He's got a documentary coming out, 3-part series, Patriot Purge, on Fox Nation, which you should all check out. Tucker, we're talking, you know, around this and to this in different ways. GOP cowardice on this issue. I still feel as though there has been no real accountability when there's all these numbers, and it's such an easy case to make for defund the police, for the riots that even racked my own neighborhood here in New York City. I mean, there were broken windows and glass all over the streets when I went out in the morning after the purge night here, so to speak. The GOP hasn't made an effective case in my mind about how damaging and destructive that was. And now we have people still held in solitary, and I think we're setting ourselves up here for a year where everything is going against the Biden administration that is based on policy and decision-making. We're seeing horrific results. You're dealing with that night in and night out on your show. But they're just going to run the, well, if you vote for a Republican, you're an insurrectionist playbook. And I worry that because the opposition is cowardly to that, that we may actually suffer or at least not do as well as we should when the people have seen that the Democrats just don't know what the heck they're doing.
Well, sure, or they do. And you know, if you're shutting down domestic energy production at a time when the country is getting poorer, that at some point it's like it's not just ideological, it's an attempt to destroy the country. I mean, I that's the conclusion I'm reaching. The question, so there's no doubt, and I think you're going to see this in Virginia tomorrow, that people think Democrats don't know what they're doing or they're actively harming our institutions. The question is, are the Republicans worth voting for? And unfortunately, you know, the answer is no. I mean, they're loathsome. You really think Mitch McConnell would care if you got pulled off the street tomorrow for your political opinions and thrown in jail? You think he'd say a word? No, of course not. And by the way, I hate to say it, but like, there's been a huge amount of money raised around the former president. How much of that has gone to the legal defense funds of the people rotting in D.C. jail? Zero. So, like, where are the Republican – I'm sorry, that's just true. Where are the Republican leaders standing up for their people, their voters? They're nowhere. I mean, there are a few of them. But and then you have Lindsey Graham, we learned in the Washington Post yesterday, is these people are milling about the hallways in the Capitol telling the Capitol Police to shoot them to death. Shoot them. American citizens, unarmed. Shoot them. That's why we give you guns, he said. It's like, really? How is Lindsey Graham on TV pretending to be conservative?
That's appalling. That's appalling.
Telling the police to shoot unarmed American citizens. Like, what the hell? I don't know. It's too frustrating, honestly.
Tucker, speaking of frustrating, the Let's Go Brandon chant is an antidote for many people's frustrations. I was down at the Florida-Georgia game, banner on an airplane flying over the stadium. Same thing happened last night for the Atlanta Braves game that was going up against the Astros. The Southwest Airlines, basically an investigation that's being driven by the Blue Checkmark Brigade. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. You had, for 6 years, basically, these people have been saying, hey, Colin Kaepernick in uniform at work, it's incredibly brave for him to take a political stand. A Southwest Airlines pilot, who may or may not have said this, by the way, there's talk that he might have said, let's go Braves, instead of let's go Brandon, because of the World Series. But what about the irony here of claiming to be a First Amendment supporter, yet immediately requiring that this guy be doxxed, identified, and never able to work again after years and years of defending what I think, frankly, is the loathsome perspective of Colin Kaepernick because he's a hypocrite and a liar. It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, I think they've pretty much given up on supporting the First Amendment. I mean, we've had people in the last 24 hours say, I should be in, you know, people with authority, I should be in jail for running this trailer and not protected speech. I mean, they're not for civil liberties, period. They're not for your First or Second Amendments, which are the pivotal ones, or Third and Fourth, for that matter. But what's so striking to me, again, is the hysteria, the neuroses, the kind of personal craziness that this grows out of. People like this have these politics not because they have been led here through some logic chain. You know, they think this is going to, like, make things better, but because of whatever profound personal torment they're living through. They're hysterical people. They'll say anything. Like, someone tells a joke they don't like, and all of a sudden they accuse the pilot of wanting to fly the plane into the ground. It's, like, so crazy and disproportionate, and yet the whole country is held hostage to their hysteria. And at some point, it's like having a teenage child who's out of control. It's, like, it's sad, but you can't let this kid, like, control your family. You still have to sit down for dinner, and, like, if you can't handle it, go to your room. Like, when do the rest of us stop paying attention to hysterical, neurotic blue checks telling us what to think? I mean, I've already reached that point. I hope others do.
Yeah, we're hoping it's when they stop wearing masks outside, Tucker, and thinking that masking up between bites on the airplane is somehow scientific. But look, folks, you got to go check this out for no other reason than it'll really upset Representative Liz Cheney. So go check it out, TuckerCarlson.com, and you can get full access to Fox Nation for free for 90 days. I'm going to be watching this three-part doc. I know Clay is too. TuckerCarlson.com. Get full access to Fox Nation for 90 days. Tucker, great work, man. We always appreciate you, and thanks for coming here to hang out with us.
You guys are the best. Thank you.
We'll come back to more on the COVID mandates here in New York as they're playing out, plus infrastructure bill. Manchin saying it's being held hostage, Clay. I got to say, this is getting messier for the Democrats than a lot of folks would have anticipated. Almost like, I don't know, we'll see. We'll give you updates on the Biden Build Back Better agenda, infrastructure bill, and all that when we come back. With all that's happening at home and in the world today, a little more TLC goes a long way. You can start that today with the dogs that we all love. Tallulah was my nurse all weekend when I was sick, man. She was right by my side, keeping me company. So I want her to be as healthy as possible, not get sick like me. And that's why you got to give them Rough Greens, because dog food is dead food. All that dry dog food, that's got to be able to sit in a shipping crate, warehouse, or a store shelf for up to 3 years. So that means that they use a sterilization process that gets a lot of good stuff that would be in your pet's food out. So you need to add it back in. That's what Rough Greens does. Rough Greens is not a dog food. It's a healthy supplement you put into your dog's food with all the live nutrients necessary for superior dog health. I'm talking about vitamins, probiotics, enzymes, omega oils, and antioxidants. Tallulah's a little fussy about her food. She loves a little Rough Greens sprinkled in. And man, she's got great pep in her step for a 12-year-old. She's a senior citizen pooch. The folks at Rough Greens are so confident your dog is going to love it. They've got a special deal for you, our listeners. Go to roughgreens.com/EIB. You all know those initials, EIB. That's R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/EIB. They'll give you the first bag free. R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/EIB. All you pay is shipping.
Polls are going to go up and down and up and down. They were high early, then they got medium, then they went back up, and now they're low. Well, look, this is look at every other president. It's the same thing has happened, but that's not why I ran. I didn't run to determine how well I'm going to do in the polls. I ran to make sure that I followed through on what I said I would do as president of the United States.
Well, if that's the case, he's doing nothing, folks. Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. He's not following through. He's not getting the left-wing agenda through. He's not getting the Biden agenda through. It's at a logjam right now. We want to just bring you up with the latest on this one. Joe Manchin coming out saying they're holding infrastructure hostage to their spending bill. They're tying these things together. That's been the game all along. But, Clay, they don't have an agreement on the overall spending package. So this thing could just keep getting dragged out and dragged out. You know, Democrats are the gang that can't shoot straight.
No doubt. And Buck, we talked about this earlier as it pertains to the Glenn Youngkin and Terry McAuliffe race in Virginia. For those of you out there, you're like, oh, I don't care what happens in a Virginia governor's race. You should, because I think on Tuesday, tomorrow, if Youngkin wins, as he is now favored to win based on polls and based on betting markets, and I hope he gets it done, because it will be a seismic earthquake-like event for Joe Biden to lose effectively a state that he won by 10 points in this governor's race. Terry McAuliffe started with all the advantages, and we told you this mom revolution. We started talking about this months ago on the show.
The Lululemon Brigade.
The Lululemon Brigade, all of that. I said, man, the moms are not happy. I saw it myself. I'm speaking at an event on Tuesday in my county, Williamson County, right outside of Tennessee. And this is going to be the first shot fired in the revolution, by the way, metaphorical revolution, because somebody's going to be like, Clay Travis is advocating for... No, the first metaphorical shot fired in terms of taking back the country from the insanity that the Democrats have wrought. I really do believe that. In the meantime, Tunnel to Towers already accomplished so much in 2021, but this month promises to be one of the busiest months of respecting and remembering all our men and women have done to fight the war on terrorism and all their sacrifices. Veterans Day. Tunnel to Towers will lead an effort to read the names of each of the 7,000 names of military personnel who've died in America's response to September 11, 2001. Ceremony is going to take place on Veterans Day at the Lincoln Memorial, majestic and august location in Washington, D.C. Later in the month, they're going to give mortgage-free homes to families of those soldiers. They'll do this every day from Thanksgiving all the way through New Year's Eve. These homes, security to the families in need, families of soldiers who fought. It's the least we can do. You can help to help the 7,000 fallen by donating $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Tucker Carlson earlier in this hour discussing what I think is going to be a really important documentary. I can't wait to go watch it, that he's doing, looking at January 6th and the events surrounding January 6th and the way that's been covered by the media and what are the actual facts. All of it's going to be a really, I believe, very intriguing watch for many of you. And we appreciate Tucker coming on to talk about that. Episode 1 debuting today as a part of Fox Nation. You can check it out, he said, for free at TuckerCarlson.com. Now, We've been talking also a lot. It is the eve of the Virginia governor's race. And Terry McAuliffe is trying to make his closing argument, and his closing argument is almost entirely predicated on Donald Trump. We're going to play you a couple of clips of McAuliffe just in the last couple of hours and what he is saying. But this is significant because my buddy Dub here, who is a big gambling aficionado along with me, it's interesting to watch and look at what the gambling markets overseas are telling us. And for those of you who don't know, you can go put money down in England on basically any American race legally. Last week when we started updating you on this, Terry McAuliffe was about a 2-to-1 favorite. It has completely flipped, and now Glenn Youngkin is a 2-to-1 favorite. We're talking, guys, why this is so significant, about a 12 or 13 point swing in terms of the overall vote totals in the state of Virginia. Biden won in 2020 by 10 points, and now it's looking like Glenn Youngkin may win by 2 or 3 points, a monster 13-point swing. And the only thing McAuliffe can do to try to stop this red tide from sweeping him out is to try and argue about Donald Trump. Listen, this is his closing argument. It's not even about Glenn Youngkin. It's all about Donald Trump.
We've got to get enthusiasm up. And, you know, Donald Trump is coming tonight doing the final rally for Glenn Youngkin. And we went through the hatred and division 4 years of Donald Trump. So I think people don't want to see this. Trump said the other day that he will control Glenn Youngkin when he's governor. And you know, we know what that means with the Trump Supreme Court. We'll roll back a woman's right to choose. It's very dangerous. Look what's happened in Texas. I mean, women's lives are at risk. Doctors being threatened with jail time. I worry about that. And I was a brick wall to protect women's rights the last time I was governor. I kept all my 16 women's clinics open. So people want to go forward.
Clay, can we just, this is where you'd want to, if you were near Terry McAuliffe, you want to just look at him and say, are you okay, buddy? Because, I mean, this whole Trump obsession is so pathetic. It's so transparent. And it's because he knows, speaking to the issue now, he carved out where he is. Terry yes. McAuliffe is the parents should sit down, shut up, and not have a say in their kids' education. Terry McAuliffe lies about CRT existing in the Virginia as well as other states' school systems. Every time he says there is no CRT, someone comes out with another school that has CRT in the curriculum, another county where they're indoctrinating kids with this stuff. And then he switches, depending on the day, to, well, if you think this is CRT, then you're racist. You know, it's the racist parents, the racist dog whistle. This guy is just floundering because what does he really offer? He's just at this point stand-in Democrat candidate. He could be basically any mainstream DNC hack anywhere in the country. He has no charm. He has no charisma. He has no vision. But he's hoping that the Democrat advantage, as you point out, 10 points in the last election will push him over the edge. And what you have here is a guy who recognizes he could be the crack in the dam of the red wave that will be coming. This could be the beginning of that counter revolution, if you will, against the Democrats from 2020. And it's all really, we bring it back to, it's about parents showing up, speaking out, wanting to have a greater say in their children's future, and Terry McAuliffe being the snide lib that we know is representative of Democrat elite view inside the Beltway and around it, which is where Loudoun County is. That's what we're seeing.
And Loudoun County, I believe, is the wealthiest county in the entire United States. I was reading $125,000, I think, average income.
It's one of them. Having lived, and I mean, I worked in Northern Virginia for a while. Yeah. I lived in D.C. at two separate occasions in my life. I think 3 or 4 of the top 10 counties per capita income happen to be, Clay, all around Washington, D.C., which tells you something. There's something going on there, folks. Almost like the piggies are feeding at the trough.
And the point here on pointing that out is they want to make this look like a response of the uneducated and right. That's why they want to stereotype this. Same thing happened in Williamson County where I live now. The parents who are speaking out are highly educated. They're looking at the facts. And Buck, I want you to hear this clip too. This is Glenn Youngkin saying, oh, you know what? This is Terry McAuliffe saying, if Glenn Youngkin wins, they're not even going to require vaccines for kids because, by the way, McAuliffe has said that he will require kids be vaccinated in order to go to school. This is why this matters for many of you out there in many parts of the country, but particularly if you're listening to us in Virginia, you need to go vote, and you need to go vote to send a message. Listen to McAuliffe continuing. This is his closing argument now. Glenn Youngkin's going to allow people who are unvaccinated to be able to go to school, and he's not even going to require every teacher to wear a mask.
Listen, Glenn Youngkin's education plan, he said day one, masks come off and no teachers required to be vaccinated. That is very dangerous to send your first grader to school and the teacher's not vaccinated and not wearing a mask. We've already seen 1,142 of our children in hospital with COVID. We just lost two 11-year-olds. So he's an anti-vaxxer. I'm not. I believe everybody, doctors, nurses, teachers ought to be vaccinated. I think that's common sense. Your job as governor is to keep your citizens safe. I built a robust, great economy before. I'll do it again. So, you know, I got more energy today than the day I was born. I am excited to get back in and do this job again. Make Virginia number one in all these different categories.
Remember in The Princess Bride, the guy keeps saying, you know, I do not think that word means what you think it means. Yes. I do not think that the response of a lot of Virginia voters to Terry McAuliffe will be what he thinks it will be when he says things like, we need to have kids masked up in schools and we need to have, interesting, teachers need to be vaccinated. You've noticed they've been very slow with that in other states because they're very powerful teachers unions. All of a sudden, the science from the left doesn't really matter. But Clay, this is a guy who doesn't even, I think, read the room well with where Virginia is right now, which is why this should have been his race to win. Everyone needs to understand this. If he doesn't win, it is like a calamity for the Democrats. If he squeaks one out, it still looks really bad for the Democrats going in to the midterm year, because this should have been an easy W for them. And it's, you can hear him, the guy's panicking.
Not only is he panicking, he's lying. And this is what's so insulting to so many parents out there. This idea that your kids are in danger of COVID is just not true. He's trying to sneak in anecdotal stories about kids who died with COVID. Remember, the seasonal flu kills more young kids every year. Your kids are more likely to be murdered than they are to die of COVID. Your kids are more likely to drown. They're more likely to die of the seasonal flu. They're more likely to die in car accidents, okay? All of those things are true. As a parent, I understand what they're trying to do here, because my kids matter more to me than anything, like all of you in the same way. They're trying to scare you with lies into voting for Democrats based on COVID. That's how they did it in 2020, and he's running the same game plan now. In the meantime, by the way, another week's out started, and if you woke up today and you were sore, we got a solution for you. It didn't feel good because you had a lot of pain. Relief Factor. They have helped hundreds of thousands of people already this year. Developed and refined by doctors over the last 15 years with ingredients known to reduce inflammation, which is a leading source of pain. Our friends at Relief Factor, 3-week quick start pack. You take a Relief Factor 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 3 weeks, and you'll know if it works for you or not. You start today, that's by Thanksgiving. You'll know whether or not you're feeling better by the time the holidays get here. Hundreds of thousands of people have tried. 70% of them go on to order more. Those are amazing odds. If it works for 7 out of 10 people, why would you not help to get your life back, have much less pain? Relief Factor, 100% drug-free product made for people like you, like me, like my wife, like Buck's dad. And how do people sign up and become part of the Relief Factor Brigade?
It's so easy, folks, and you got to check it out. Join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Welcome back to the Clay Travis Buck Sexton Show. Closing up shop today, but man, we know already tomorrow's going to be a big show. We have the Virginia governor's race, election decision day. Plus, we got a mayor's race here in New York. Curtis Sliwa, the Republican, running against Eric Adams, the Democrat. Now, it's likely going to be a Democrat win, but we're going to follow it nonetheless because you have the vaccine mandate deadline today for city employees, police, fire, sanitation. Thousands, perhaps tens of thousands, who are going to be on unpaid medical leave. We don't know how this is going to shake out. Am I going to be up to my elbows in trash more so than usual here in New York in the days ahead. This could be really rough. We'll see if there's a lot of crime surge that happens, or can they backfill and make this not as much a problem while the standoff continues. I mean, we've already got a lot planned for you. Plus, we have Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida scheduled to come on the show tomorrow as a guest. We have got so many fantastic guests for you this week, which we're really, really excited about. I also just want to say happy birthday to my mom. My mom is
happy birthday.
Yeah, she's having a birthday today. I am still not particularly well, so I won't be able to see her today, but I wanted to say happy birthday to her. And she's the best mom in the world. I know a lot of people think they have the best mom in the world. I think I have the best mom in the world. And I want to say happy birthday to Mom. Love you so much. And Clay, I just want to know anything from... We already know we got a lot of news tomorrow, a lot of news to get to the rest of the week. Anything from the Halloween weekend that... I mean, I'll tell you, I got almost through my Midnight Mass show, which I think is pretty good, actually. Man, I thought it was pretty good. Not that scary enough for me, not too scary. Any Halloween thoughts or any Thanksgiving predictions?
It was amazing, Halloween. I had to get my boys up this morning. Usually they wake up early. They got to stay out late last night. They had unbelievable amounts of candy. All the kids were running around. And the number of people in my neighborhood, the dads that I saw wearing Let's Go Brandon t-shirts, like, it was good weather, you know, 65, 70 degrees, like, everybody's out and about having an incredible time, was amazing, right? I mean, it is just spreading like wildfire. We started off the show talking about the Southwest Airlines incident. We'll see whether or not anything more comes out of that. But to me, we talk all the time about how do we get back to normalcy in this country. And the answer, I really believe, is people have to behave normally. And that sounds a little bit crazy, but you can't get things back to normalcy unless you yourself embrace normalcy in your life. And what I see all over the place, and obviously I'm traveling in the SEC and being in a lot of red states, but you would never know that COVID had existed but for the airplane flights where you have to wear your masks. But anywhere that I'm going in the South, I was in Texas last week, I was in Florida, I'm in Tennessee now, I'll be down in Alabama this weekend. I'm all over the place. And when I'm walking around to these college football stadiums and these NFL stadiums and everything else and meeting the crowds and seeing everybody, normalcy has returned. And I think that's what scares the Democratic Party. It's why they keep trying to trot out the boogeyman that is Donald Trump. They saw it work in California, and that's what they're trying to do now in Virginia. And we just need, tomorrow is election day. I mean, this is a big deal. Tomorrow, Virginia needs to elect Glenn Youngkin, Buck, because of the message that it will send shockwaves all throughout the country if Youngkin upsets Terry McAuliffe in that race.
Absolutely. It's so important. I know we got a lot of listeners in Virginia, but we also have a lot of folks who either themselves or friends or, you know, friends or family members of theirs have just become more motivated and mobilized to go to their school board meetings. I mean, I know you went to one, but there are many people who listen. I know they've written in. They're much more engaged and energized. And what you're seeing here is that kind of grassroots, bottom-up activism for wherever you are all across the country. Now, we know we're talking to audiences in all 50 states, so we always try to make sure we're spreading out. You know, yeah, we're talking to New York and Texas and Florida and California. We're also talking to, you know, Nebraska and Alabama and Utah, right? I mean, we're all over the place. Every single school board in the country right now should have people that, when they show up for the meetings, want to ask questions about what is being taught to their children, and they deserve answers. And that has implications. It matters, because then all of a sudden it becomes an issue at the city council level or the town council. The mayor all of a sudden has to think about this. The governor may have to. What has brought down the McAuliffe campaign at this point? It's just him telling people what he really thinks about parents wanting greater involvement for their children when it comes to their schooling. That's really, I mean, yeah, there's other issues and everything else, but this is where all of a sudden he has gone off a cliff, and this could be replicated across the country. The fight against critical race theory, indoctrination of children, and yes, even school masking at some level, is our Tea Party movement in 2021 and 2022. If this win happens tomorrow, Clay, I think that then becomes clear to people that this is not just a mobilization of people talking about it in the media. This is happening. It's real. And people want to take their communities back. They want freedom back. They want input into their children's lives. and their education, and that is powerful. That is where you see real change coming.
No doubt. And we have been saying on this show, since I went to that school board meeting in Williamson County and spoke about masks being ridiculous and unsupported by any scientific data, I called you right after that meeting, Buck, and I said, this is going to be a mom revolution and it could change everything. And I understand, by the way, there's a lot of people out there that are apprehensive and nervous about vote counting and all of the things that might arise after 2020. Let me just say this. You don't win elections by focusing on what happened in the past. I want everybody in Virginia to show up and make this such an ass kicking of the Democratic Party and their radical agenda. This is your opportunity to stand up. You need to go out. I understand there's apprehension. I understand there's nervousness. The only thing that you individually can do is show up and vote and put your record out there for who you support. And we need to put it in a position where it's uncontestable. You see where McAuliffe's already got a top litigation attorney.
Yeah, they're going to play games if it becomes close.
But I want you guys in Virginia to kick Terry McAuliffe's ass and send a message to the country now.
We need to run up the scoreboard, folks.
Yes.
And if we run up the scoreboard in Virginia, I can tell you, going into the midterms and every close race and every state that really matters, we're going to run up the scoreboard in Georgia. We're going to run up the scoreboard in other key battleground states.
Arizona, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania,
exactly.
Michigan. It's coming.
This becomes the force multiplier of Virginia for everybody all across the country. Let's have our folks really send a message. We didn't even get to immigration today, Clay. I've got some staggering numbers.
I saw some of that.
On how immigration affects New York and the costs that are coming into New York City, as well as other communities across the country. We'll talk about that. But Clay, I mean, basically, we got to dive deep tomorrow into the governor's race, the latest of the Biden agenda, and the vax mandate playing out of New York City. We got a full show already. It's not even tomorrow.
No doubt. And it's a big day. Listen to us. Virginia's for lovers. I understand. But tomorrow, Virginia needs to be for Youngkin in a big way, because it's a message you guys can send to the rest of the country. Get out and vote. Make it happen, Virginia.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.